Hello and welcome back to the American Dream Podcast. I am your host, Elias Torres, and today I have probably my favorite guest of them all, my mother, the one and only, the one that made me who I am today, the one who gave me the opportunities, taught me so much and loved me. And we have a very deep and personal podcast about a big milestone that we have achieved as a family since we arrived in search of our very own American dream. Please keep listening to find out more. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the American Dream Podcast. This is a special episode. One is in person. It's the first studio setting. This is my mother, Consuelo Rios. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elia, for inviting me.
Yeah. So we are right now in Largo, Florida. We're about a mile from the beach at a brand new house that I was able to purchase for my mother. A dream come true, right? So we're going to talk. Yes. You're happy? You're excited?
Very much. So I never expected, you know, get this beautiful house with so much comfort and luxurious stuff and a very, very nice town. It's a very beautiful.
My mom's kitchen is better than my kitchen. We only renovated half of the kitchen. But I think this is an encouragement, right? Everything I do in this podcast is to encourage people to achieve their dreams and to even know what's possible, right? I think this is something that feels to me not normal, right? For immigrants to be able to do this. A lot of people that I've told about this, they said, wow, that's my dream. That's what I want to do. So I just kind of wanted to make it a reality and see it happen. It's something that we did over this past Christmas. But I want to start from the beginning of the American dream, right? I think, why is a home so meaningful to us? And so tell us a little bit about the home that I grew up. What home, whose home was that? What was this home? Where did we live?
Yeah, when I had Elias was 3 years old, and I moved in a house that supposed to be like my house. And he grew up over there for 14 years. It was 13 when we left. Elias was 17. And we have a beautiful house, but it wasn't mine. Nicaragua has a very difficult situation with the government that we are not able, the inflation was so bad that we are not able to buy cars, nor buy houses. And it was just, even though that I make good money, but I purchased nothing with that. And I realized that we were going nowhere because the political situation, the economical situation, even the family situation, that pushed me over to think about moving out. Because it wasn't my dream to leave my country, because I love my country. I love the way I did over there, the work I did, I love it. And I never expected to leave the country. All my sisters and brothers left the country since 1979, but I stayed there till 1993. See, because really, really, I didn't want to leave. Yeah. To me, it was beautiful living in my country. But when Elias was 17, I realized that we needed a different future for my children. I had three boys, Elias the oldest, Mario the second, and Larry my youngest. In that time, he was 17, 12, and 10 years old. So I decided to move to the United States. It was my only way out. My mother was citizen here in America, and I request her to call me, and she did it.
Yeah.
She requested me and my children.
She came in 1975 to the country. She crossed the river, the Rio Grande, with coyotes, these men that would, like, you pay them money with the hope that they can carry you over. So she came illegally, became a citizen after being here for so long.
Yeah.
She was an activist helping her community. with very little English. And she ends up getting a citizenship.
Yes, she did.
And with that, she was able to request. But the thing is that that's kind of where my dream begins. Because I lived with my dad in Nicaragua, in L.A. for a couple of years.
Yeah, two years.
And so that's when I tasted the United States, right? And I was like, so when I came back.
12 to 14.
12 to 14. So when I came back to Nicaragua from 14 to 17, my mom had already requested us, and we were waiting for the immigration status. We had to wait outside of the country to come. And I was dreaming every day, can we go back to this country where I saw people having businesses, having houses, having cars? I was like, Mom, we got to go. We got to go. I want to go. And my mom was like, no, I'm happy here. But if the papers come out, maybe we give it a try. And I'm like, please take me back to the United States.
It's like, no coming illegally. I always say, no, illegal, I don't come to this country. Okay, my mother and I start the preparing all the paperwork in 1989. And in 1993, August the 3rd, we got the visa. And then they gave me 3 months.
In 4 years?
No. But I started the paperwork, but the real 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 1993, in August, I was called to have the interview, and they gave me 3 months to leave the country. Precisely the time that Elia need to get the graduation in high school.
Yeah.
The graduation was December the 2nd, we leave December the 3rd.
Yeah, I graduated from high school there.
Yeah, he graduated high school, and we came to America in December the 3rd, 1993.
Right. So we just crossed 30 years here in the country. And so when we came with a green card, which was unbelievable, right? It's to come legally into this country. I know how hard it is for immigrants to come, that they have to wait here inside. Mine was easier because of her and because of my grandmother, right? But we came legally, but what was the first job we had to do?
We did some cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to make some money, and in my life, I haven't even cleaned. And it was so hard. We went to clean a dental office.
Yeah.
And it was so hard. I said, Elia, please help me to throw the garbage. And he did it just one night.
Wait, hold on. When I tell the story, I say I cleaned for years.
No, you just one night helped me with the garbage.
But hold on. This is not good having your mother on the podcast. I don't know what I'm doing. We're going to have to do some editing here. But what do you mean? What about the American General Office, the insurance office?
Only Mario, help me.
Oh, okay. So, well, jeez. Okay, so.
No, I agree with Elias. He already had a job. He went to work at McDonald's.
I was thrilling. Yeah. I would come smelling. Yes.
And
like
he was working so hard. He went to school. After school, he went to work at McDonald's. And I had to pick him up 2 a.m. All was the cold weather in December, picking it up at 2 a.m.
Because
he was closing. That's why I couldn't ask him to help me.
But I did go a few times, it's on the record. The thing is that my mother is a veterinarian.
Yeah.
She is, you're a veterinarian, you have a PhD, you're a doctor. You know how to cure animals. You're a pathologist. You taught at the university. You're a university professor. You're the first veterinarian woman in Nicaragua, right?
Yes.
So when she came here, you're like, now you have to clean and take the trash. That's why it was so hard for her, right?
Yeah, but it didn't took long. You know, after that, I started working, going to school to learn English, and after I went to Erwin to have a medical assistant courses and start working in the doctor office. No more cleaning.
No more cleaning.
No more cleaning.
But then my mother decided that she liked to work at a department store, and she became a saleswoman.
So. Oh, yeah, because I remember working in the doctor office in 1997. The health pay was very low. And a patient might say, oh, you could have gone to the store, they pay more. And I went, and it was true. They pay more money. And I said, I have no responsibility, all the work in the doctor's office. And I worked in the department store for 21 years.
21 years.
I just retired in 2021, and I'm enjoying my life now. And I got the gift from my son that gave me this beautiful house. Now I can really relax.
Yeah, well, let's go back. Well, you're jumping ahead. So we come here. We are cleaning offices. Then I'm working at McDonald's, I'm going to class, and then most immigrants, right, they only have the ability, we have no credit, we have no major income, no down payment, so we end up being slaves to renting, right, renting houses,
yeah.
Renting apartments. So our first apartment, we had one of my aunts helped us, we lived at her house, then we rented our first duplex, we rented this place. Then we had a subsidized apartment by the government that was like a kind of newer apartment building. And we were so excited about these places. But my mom's dream begins, and she's like, whose idea was to buy a townhouse?
Because they say they're going to cut this the service in the house, the apartment. That's why I said we need to move. And but we didn't want to go rent in another place. That's why I decided to look for a house.
So we bought that, what, 97?
In 1997.
97. So we came in December 93. So in about less than 3 years, about 3 years, right? I'm in college, and she works at a department store. She's a medical assistant.
Yeah, oh, the medical assistant.
And we applied. I applied for a mortgage for a townhouse working at IBM part time.
We were approved for $70,000.
Yeah,
that was the only.
The condo was $75,000 or something like that.
68.
Okay, see, she has a good memory. I wonder where the memory comes from. My memory. And so, like, so we bought this townhouse where she lived until.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And so my mother, so she lived there. And so we were noticing that this past Christmas, you know, this house is the biggest purchase I've ever made since the acquisition, since we sold the company Drift. This has been my biggest ticket item. And I was talking to my mom, and I said to her, like a year ago, like, look,
it's time to move.
3 years ago, I've been saying to my mom, like, we gotta move, we gotta go somewhere else. It's time. I want you to, you need a new place. That place is too old. I don't like it. You know, even though it was paid off and everything. And so I said to my mom, what do you want? And my mom was like, I want to live by the beach. She said,
that's why.
She said, but then. As I came here, I was like, I usually come here for Christmas. My mother-in-law lives here. And so we're like, we have both, Alejandra and I, we both have our parents here, our mothers. And so we came for Christmas as we usually come. And I said to my mom, this is it. This is my goal. We're buying a house. We're getting this done. And my mom was like, I don't know. You're always talking and not doing. And so she's like,
I want to stay in Tampa.
And she's like, I want to stay in Tampa. It's like, there's these houses right next door, you know, that are coming up. And I'm like, no. We're going to go by the beach, and we're going to go look for something. So we did that, and we found the right balance for her. She loves gardening. She loves being outdoors. We were in the garage right now, and she said, was it?
I always wanted a garage.
This is the first time my mother has a garage. And so we're like, this is the first time she has a garage. And she's excited. My brother is excited. And it gives me so much joy to do that. And we found something that was a neighborhood, but it's about a mile from the beach, Indian Rocks Beach. And so she can go to the beach and she can start her retirement life.
There is a lot of outdoor to see, park, gardening. It's a beautiful area, this one.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm thinking that just sharing that with people, like how my American dream, I saw something, I think I saw a clip, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger or something that says, he's giving a commencement speech and he's saying like, there's no such thing as a self-made man, right? It's like self-made man implies nobody helped you and you did it all by yourself. But you know, I'm here with my mother. She's the one who made me. She's the one who taught me everything. I come from her. I come from my grandmother. I'm exactly like them. I come from women.
My mother had strong genes.
Yeah.
Even my granddaughter got it.
If I'm smart, it's because of her.
Thank you.
And then the memory, the ability. My mother wanted to be an entrepreneur in Nicaragua. She tried several times.
But Nicaragua is since 1979. Start being destroyed, the everything, the business, the economy, the even the freedom.
There's no freedom.
We lost everything. That's why there is no more dream about going back to Nicaragua. It's hard.
Yeah, same is happening in Venezuela and other countries in Latin America. Ecuador is happening too. A lot of danger. And like, you want to start a business, you don't have credit lines. You don't have, you know, infrastructure. You don't have entrepreneurship.
And besides, if you start growing, they take you out.
And they take you out. They'll take your stuff. They steal it. So
yeah.
It's really hard. So this is something for us to, you know, I keep repeating that this country is one of the most amazing countries in the world. It's where you can fulfill your dreams. We are in that process. And we want to help other people achieve their dreams, too. Inspire them. So it's an honor to be here with you. Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
This is not the last thing we do.
Thank you. But I always say that America is, you have to don't take for granted all we have in this country, because I came from a country where everything is so hard. That's why since I came, I appreciate whatever we have it in here.
Yeah.
Nothing is free. We have to work hard for everything we got. That here in this country, we are working hard. We are saving. We are taking, we never take for granted what this country have provided for us. That's why I appreciate America, and I want the best for this country, to keep the freedom and to keep the liberty to grow the way we want to grow.
I don't know. This sounds like a political party campaign endorsement.
Yeah, it is.
We cannot be a
human being without being a political being.
We started from cleaning the offices. We started from working at McDonald's. So to me, that's why I'm always happy and thankful and excited.
About Lucy and Larry?
And you want to talk about that?
Yeah. America, it was very good to me, even though in 2007 I lost my baby, my son Larry.
The hardest thing was that we lost my brother in a car accident, right? He was coming home, and there was an accident. Long story, but he passed away. He died right in the accident at the scene, and so that's something that my mother has. Coming here, it hasn't been without hardships, and it hasn't been easy. It's not all roses, and not only been great things, but life is like that, right? It's complicated, and we have to be thankful, and we have to.
Yeah, but even though I lost my child, my baby, but I still have my son Elia that has been a blessing for me and for my other children. And he gave me the three wonderful grandchildren, Brianna, Noah, and Lucas, that I love them so much. Also, my daughter-in-law, Alejandra, she's a wonderful mother, wife, and she's a wonderful person. And I do appreciate everything I got in this country, my family, and now this beautiful house, my retirement, and praise the Lord for my health and everything that He has provided for me during my entire life. Thank you, Elia, for taking me here.
This podcast got quite emotional here. I'm trying to keep myself under control, but no, just sharing a little insight into the story, into the journey, into everybody's American dream. And it's not all roses. It's not all rosy, but I don't know. We just, the immigrants, we have the energy to keep fighting and to keep working.
Keep going every day.
Keep going every day. Thank you very much. And I hope this was helpful, a little window into our kitchen, into our new home. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the American Dream Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. And share the episode with your friends. Our work isn't done until everyone has equal access to their dreams.